You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, welcome all to another fresh and brand new edition of none other than the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Hende. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. It's a cool evening here in the capital of Namibia. Wherever you are listening to us from, wherever you are plugged into Eagle FM, anywhere in the world, welcome to the program. Welcome to the Eagle Sports Zone, Eagle FM's in-house sports program where we discuss all things sports that's on the field, off the field, between the fields, under the field. We like to discuss it all on the Eagle Sports Zone. We like to delve into various different topics that, you know, that the conventional people don't think about when it comes to sports. You know, that be it your sports governance, be it your sports marketing, your sports psychology, sports infrastructure, all those various topics around the study of sports. You can find that no other place but Eagle FM. If you haven't yet, make it a priority in your life to download the Eagle FM mobile application so that when you are on the go, when you are outside Namibia, when you are anywhere that's not by a traditional stereo, you can tune into your favorite Eagle FM programs at all times. As I said, this lets you listen from anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, whether you're on the go, you know, doing laundry, maybe you're cooking, you're going to the store, anything. You can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. Alternatively, you can also listen to us via the website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. And if you, for whatever reason, aren't able to tune into your favorite programs live as they are being broadcasted, you can always, always go to the podcast section, either on the mobile application or on the website, and find the broadcast of your favorite programs. If you missed the interview we had last weekend with the 2024 South African Sports Photographer of the Year that we had here on Eagle FM, all you have to do is go to the podcast section, type in Eagle Sports Zone, and you will find the episode there. Whether you're looking for an episode from last month, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it's all available in the podcast section. And another application for you to download, also costs you a total of $0, is the Imba mobile application. Now, this is a revolutionary application, I can say, that puts all your favorite hymns for all my churchgoers, all my choir singers. All your favorite hymns are now in the palm of your hand in that device that is tethered to your hand. Whether you're looking for English hymns, Oshiwambo hymns, Afrikaans hymns, German hymns, Oshiedero hymns, Silozi hymns, Portuguese hymns, who am I leaving out? Damara Nama hymns. If it exists, it's more than likely in the Imba mobile application. And don't forget, on these applications, there are some great digital displays for you to interact with that provide you all kinds of information, make you a more informed person, give you the tools needed to participate in this lovely economy of ours. You know that things like vacancies are on there. I know a lot of people are constantly looking for a job. Your next career might be discovered on the Eagle FM app or the Inbound mobile application. Or if you just want general information, you know, things like the constitution, things like the census report, things like the budget, the full budget, the national budget now we're speaking about, it's all there for you in the applications. There'll be a small message for you there to interact with, something like click here, call this number, blah, blah, blah. All you have to do is tap on the screen and you will be directed to a various address. So if you are a business owner, there's no better place than to put your product right there in front of hundreds of thousands of users, not only Namibians, but as I said, people from all over the world. Now tomorrow, as we know, is Monday, and that means that the Villager e-paper will be published. That is the premier publication if you're looking for news related to the economy, news related to business, related to policy development, anything that makes you a more informed citizen, including sports articles by none other, or usually not by none other than yours truly. Every Friday I have a column in there for you as well. If you missed last week's column, simply visit thevillager.com.na. And if you're wondering, if you haven't subscribed yet to The Villager, you're wondering how to subscribe, all you have to do is send a WhatsApp message with your email address and your phone number to 081, your WhatsApp number now, to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, The Villager is pinged directly to your WhatsApp, and you can wake up an informed citizen. Do remember to also follow all our social media pages. That's Eagle FM Namibia and The Villager newspaper, as well as our WhatsApp channel that we have, that will most certainly keep you up to date with everything happening in our beautiful nation. So I said today's topic is today's more of a general topic. You know, there has been an eventful weekend of local sports. Various events have taken place in various sports codes, few of which I won't even get to cover today. But we will be joined by a total of four guests that will talk to us about the various, that will be able to give us insight on the various things that happened this weekend. So today is a very local show. You know, usually on the Eagle Sports Zone, we like to draw from international examples, international case studies and so on, and apply them to Namibia in a theoretical sense. But today, we're talking straight from the ground. We're gonna hear straight from the source, the sources. And if you would like to join the conversation, all you have to do is dial 0832-888-401. That is our number in the studio. That's 0832-888-401. If you'd like to ask any questions, comments, voice your opinions on your favorite teams, favorite athletes, you're more than welcome to join the Eagle Sports Zone. So, let's get right into it. We will start with the Debmarine Namibia Premiership. Rounds 24 and 25 took place this weekend. 24 taking place on Saturday and 25 taking place today. Most of which should be complete by now, but I'll consult my sources in just a moment. But we'll start with what was undoubtedly the match of the week, which was between African Stars and Eshoke Chula Chula. That happened in the capital at the Independence Stadium. This was Saturday afternoon. The match ended in a 0-0 draw. Although it was 0-0, it was a fairly entertaining match, I must say. Both sides had chances that they couldn't really take, but it was definitely more entertaining than the scoreline suggested there. And I caught up with both of the coaches after the match just to get their thoughts amongst other things, to get their thoughts on the rivalry that's formed between the two sides. So let's take a listen to African Stars head coach Bob Mafaso and Chula Chula head coach John Sikerete. Let's hear what they had to say about this rivalry, which I think is okay. I'll give my personal thoughts on the rivalry after we hear from the two head coaches.
But now I'm feeling what the African Stars feel again is. We'll push. We're not playing against them every day, though we have lost. I think that's two more players again. I don't know. Yeah, we've lost two more players again to suspensions. We need to go back and then now plan for tomorrow. Great atmosphere, a good spectacle for Namibian football. We disappointed, both teams disappointed we didn't score, but I think it was a good show. It's the first time that we are having this type of crowd. We wish to have more. The first time for me at African Stars having more noises than our supporters, but it's a good spectacle. The atmosphere was great.
Thank you, Coach. Coach, talk to us about the rivalry between Chula Chula and African Stars.
The outside the atmosphere is what bring what makes it beautiful. If you could see that people enjoy it, they want to enjoy this game. So with that and that, what they are doing, it's really going very well for football in the country. And I did not expect a low turn-up like today. I wanted it to be full, but I could see both sides, the turn-up was not that so much big. But yeah, nevertheless, we appreciate those who turn up. At least it makes a difference.
And what do you have to say to the Chula Chula fans for the rest of the season? What can they expect?
Yeah, we are, you know, in second round, we are reshuffled the team. It's a relatively very new team, even you can see. It's hardly to identify the old players. Yeah, so we are going slowly, climbing the ladder, but we are pushing because there's still six games to go now. So tomorrow we take another game and then we round it off for a weekend and then we look for the next week.
Those were the two coaches speaking to Eagle FM after the 0-0 draw between African Stars and Chula Chula. And, it was interesting to hear sort of the contrast in opinion between the two coaches. Coach Bob, obviously his first time managing this fixture. This is his first season taking charge of the team. And for him, he thought it was a great atmosphere. And I know that this was the most fans he's managed in front of during his short stint here now at African Stars. But Coach John, on the other hand, you know, he was expecting more supporters in to be in attendance, which truthfully speaking, I did too. I thought the stadium would be more packed out than it was. I mean, there was a decent crowd there, but it wasn't to the tune of what we've seen in the past. And maybe the past crowds were amplified by, you know, it being the Dr. Hage Geingob Cup final. You know, they've played in, I believe now, two finals against each other. So obviously that attracts more people, but I remember when these two teams first matches, they were, you know, the stadium was always packed. It wasn't as packed this time around. So maybe some work there to do, but we'll get into that on the other side of this.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
You're You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Before the commercial break, we're just talking about the crowd that was at the much anticipated African Stars Chula Chula fixture. Coach John expressing that he expected more people there, but nonetheless, it was an entertaining match, and maybe this will be an opportunity for both sides and the league itself to figure out how can they draw more people to matches, to league matches? How can they pack out the stadium for league matches, not just for cup finals? But nonetheless, the rest of the round 24 results. We had FC Ongos beating Kukatops a 4-0. Kukatops, by the way, now have officially been relegated from the Debmarine Namibia Premiership. This was their... I can't quite confirm if it was their first season ever in the league, but they got promoted last year. They're going back down to be replaced, by the way, by Rundu Chiefs, who have been promoted now. And we'll hear from the chairman of Rundu Chiefs in just a moment after we get through these results of UNAM beating Blue Waters 3-2, Young African and KK Palace drawing a 0-0, Okahandja United losing 1-0 to Commerce Nampol. Tigers and Julinho played it to a 1-1 draw. Mighty Gunners beating Young Brazilians 2-1. And Bucks Buccaneers, who've been in good form since coach Ronnie Canaletto took over there, beating Blue Boys 2-0. Round 25, which is taking place right now, is African Stars lost to KK Palace 2-0 today. Young African and Chula Chula played to a 0-0 draw. So Chula Chula actually didn't score any goals this weekend. Okahandja United and Young Brazilians. Young Brazilians took that one at 2-1. Kukatops, another loss for them after losing 3-1 to Tigers. Mighty Gunners, who could have taken advantage of the points dropped by both African Stars and Young African, couldn't do so, but lost 3-1 to Commerce Nampol. And if I could just consult my sources on the three matches, then they should be close to finishing now. That's FC Ongos and Julinho. Last I checked, that was 0-0. Bucks Buccaneers, Blue Waters, and then UNAM and the Blue Boys. Let's just see what my trusty sources have to say in regards to those. But as I said, despair for Kukatops as they're being relegated, but joy for Rundu Chiefs, who have been promoted to the Debmarine Namibia Premiership, their first time back in the league since their last stint in the league, which was in the 2017-2018 season. And my sources have confirmed that Ongos and Julinho has ended in a 0-0 draw. Let's see if my sources can reveal what the results are for the final two games. All right, not as yet. But what I can say is that African Stars came into the weekend leading by 3 points. And as I read there, they dropped 5 points. But Young African wasn't able to capitalize on that after a loss and a draw. So the gap has been closed. But Young African could have been leading the table this weekend had they taken advantage. But we will go to a brief commercial break, and then we will be joined by the chairman of Rundu Chiefs, that is Agrippa Haindongo, who will chat to us about the team's promotion and what we can expect from the side next season. We will be back right after this. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Owuli omunangeshefa nowahala okushivitha omayakulo?
All right. Mr. Agrippa, are you there on the line with us today? Eagle FM, hello. We'll be right back.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. We are still trying to get in touch with Mr. Agrippa. We will get in touch with him right after this brief intermission from Jimmy Cliff. Right, Mr. Agrippa, are you there? Hello? Hello? Okay, one moment. We'll be right back.
Hello, can you hear me now? Mr. Agrippa? I can, okay, one moment. My apologies.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows?
Are you able to? Yeah. Are you with us?
100%.
Okay. Apologies for that.
No, that's cool.
It was a minor technical issue we had, but we are live now.
Okay.
All right. So, Mr. Agrippa, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for making time to speak to the Eagle FM listeners.
Thank you. A warm good evening to you all, listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so very first of all, congratulations on the team making it to the Deb Marine Namibia Premiership.
Thank you very much, my guy. It was hard work.
Yeah. So if you can just give us your initial thoughts on winning the league and getting a promotion to the top division.
Sure. I should say it's not an easy thing to do. It actually took us time to reinforce the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we have done so, and we made it. So basically, that's it.
Okay. So what does promotion mean to the fans of Rundu Chiefs and the community as a whole? What does it mean to you guys?
I should say that everyone is excited.
Mm-hmm.
The Rundu Chiefs is called a Pangero. In Rupangari, Pangero simply means it's a government.
Okay.
So we last, it's about 8 years back that Rundu Chiefs was, at the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, of us coming back to the Premier League, it means a lot to all the fans of Rundu Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they are all excited.
No, it's good. I can see, online there's a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
What would you say has been the main contributor for the team's success this season?
Look, I don't want to run around the bushes. It requires hard work and financial stability. You need to pump in the team for you to get good results.
Yeah.
So you have to get players that are very competitive. You need to get your technical team, your coaches. You see, we had to get all those technical team and players for us to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we have done is, we got up the group that, is very competitive for us to win the league.
Yes. Okay. So, some of the listeners, they're asking, what exactly does a chairman do in a football team? What is your role?
The chairman is the head. It's like the president. I mean, you are the driving gear of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You lead the team to a specific direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the chairman is the driving gear of the team.
Okay.
Of this that specific club, yes.
So now, as that driving gear, what have been some of your biggest challenges in getting the team back to the league? As you said, it's been about 7-8 years now. So what have some of the challenges been?
As I've alluded earlier on, to say, look, the team needs financial power.
Mm-hmm.
For you to get there, you need to get to have financial muscles for you to gather a good team.
Mm-hmm.
So failure to have financial power will always take you back, because other teams are gathering good players, technical teams to assist the players and all those stuff. So once you have financial muscles to take the team to a specific point, then obviously you will make it.
Yeah. Okay, so now speaking of the people of Rundu, you said the Rundu Chiefs is a nickname for what? The government?
Epangero,
yes. So,
you know, whatever, backwards, never.
So, Rundu has we can say it's a football hub. The people of Rundu love football. There's a few teams, you know, Julinho, Cucatops, now yourselves as well. What would you say is the reason that the people of Rundu like football so much?
So, Namibia at large, as we speak.
Mr. Agrippa, it seems we are losing you there now. Are you still with us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were saying that it's important for a team to have supporters.
Yes.
Okay. As a chairman of a team, you know, what would you say teams all over the country need to do to get more supporters into the stadiums when the teams are playing every weekend? How do we fill the stadiums?
Sure. That's a big one. First of all, I should say, look, when you have football at heart,
mm-hmm.
when you have your team at heart, so that you can give moral support to the players and so that players can also have supporters, so we should really ever they're traveling,
mm-hmm.
so that they can give the courage to the boys and
Okay, are you still there? Can you hear us?
Pardon me?
Can you hear us?
I hear you, loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, it's just it's coming in and out from our side. But my last question that I had for you is what can the fans expect from the team next season? You know, we've gotten some people saying, please don't change the team. We want to see the same players, but as a chairman, what can you tell the supporters they can expect next season?
Reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's going on Mr. Agrippa's line. Maybe the reception in Rindu is not going too well, but we'll call him right back to get his answer on that last question. Just so that the Rindu Chiefs supporters can hear what they can expect next season. We'll be right back.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your
Yes, we have Mr. Agrippa back on the line. Are you with us, Mr. Agrippa?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you were just giving us the answer on what the fans can expect during next season.
I've just said that the fans should expect. Obviously, we need to restructure the team and give it our results. But all I can say is we are coming with a mission.
Yes, yes. And is there any lasting words you would like to leave with the supporters before we let you go this evening?
Yeah, all I'm encouraging all the football lovers countrywide is that as football lovers. Or any sport, I mean, being it netball, being it volleyball, we should always have massive support of our teams,
mm-hmm.
and we move forward. You know, sport is a very, very important activity,
yes.
And we should therefore always put more effort in sport.
Most definitely, most definitely. Well said. Mr. Agrippa, thank you very much for your time today, and congratulations once again on the team gaining promotion.
Thank you, my guy. Rundoji forever. Begwas never, forward ever. Epanero for life.
Yes, sir. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, there was Mr. Agrippa Haindongo joining us. I just learned that the team's nickname is Epangelo. So that should be very interesting next season to hear that being chanted and so on next year. Or next season, I should say. Now moving on, still staying in football news. Let me just confirm with my sources if the other fixtures are complete before we do fully move on. Do remember you can join the conversation at 0832888401. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you very much for bringing us the updates on sports.
Mm-hmm.
We always appreciate your being there for us. But especially when you focus more on local.
Yeah.
Our local sports should be given the priority.
Most definitely.
And in terms of dissemination of information and everything, and we are very happy for what you are doing.
Thank you, thank you.
So the other thing is, those are two last questions to Mr. Indongo. You say Indongo?
Yeah, Indongo.
Yeah, those people, they are just Indongo, they are just almost similar to Oshiwambo names.
Yeah.
I don't need to be afraid of mispronouncing their name.
Mm.
But then the question that you ask is that the what we should expect from the spectators or supporters and things like that.
Yes.
We expect a higher standard of discipline.
Oh, has discipline been a problem for them?
Not necessarily, I'm just talking in general, you know, term.
Yeah, yeah.
Because many a times, you find out that even if a player is fouled, not deliberately, perhaps, and they respond, the reaction is always very aggressive, many a times.
Yeah.
And I think that also destabilizes the stability. It makes the forms. It makes the, even the, if you are playing with the anger and that bitterness.
Yes.
So you not concentrate on the ball and you might even end up concentrating on the person. Kicking the person instead of the ball. And that is disorganized the formula that is set up. But I'm just talking in general. And this discipline is not only when you are in the field, it's also when you are outside. Many times the behaviors and the, you know, and those players, because they need to be protected. I understand the sponsors and things like that. And I think sponsors, they also look at some of those issues.
Yes.
They say, is this from the leadership to down, the prayers, are they well organized? You understand?
Yeah.
Some of those things we need to put in place, and then we now expect the supporters, they will come, you know, automatic.
Mm-hmm.
When you are performing, when you have discipline, and you are very committed, and then the sponsor, they will definitely come in. How do they come in those bicycles and those net bank, in those other sports clubs?
Yeah.
What do they look at? Perhaps they have got they are showing some things that most of our teams, you know, sport, I mean soccer, especially the soccer ones, are not displaying.
Yes.
So I'm very lucky, especially I have seen most of these things like, you know, Chula Chula and Africa Star. Those, they are becoming more popular.
Yeah,
in terms of growing the popularity, and I mean the majority, there are a lot of people who do go and see, watch their games. So now that kind of portray, you know, So let them uplift that standard. When they need to make sure that they become so dominant. And I've also seen that and I have some people who are playing in some of those teams, which are very close to me, relatives.
Yes.
And when I talk to them, I said, Sue, they don't, you know, training and just jogging on yourself and training on yourself, it gives you more stamina. Are you getting me?
Yes, yes.
And the type of food that we eat.
Yeah, that's very important.
So as a sport person, you must be very selective in terms of food. You know, these West African people, you know, those boys.
Yeah.
They are some, when they play, you can see the energy. When the person puts his leg like this, you feel it. So, you know, the type of food that will really give you some kind of energy and stamina and build up your. So, I'm just very happy. All I'm saying is that, let them also observe a lot of these sport codes.
Yes.
So that the management and everything will flow very well. So then also start now negotiating for sports fields in the community. So then if they can really work and negotiate with the community leaders there to get some ground. And now I'm also talking about this FNEA. Who is this, the umbrella body?
For football?
The Football Association, not what?
The NFA, yeah, Namibia Football Association.
And all those those authorities that are affiliated to those things, let them also go into the community, especially when the school is on holiday. And look at it. Are there some sport fields or some spaces? It don't even say sport field. Just to create some spaces. In the village there with the village leadership and say yes, in this, you know, they have to go for a fact-finding mission. It doesn't just end in Oshana. Down in the village and see how people are playing, where they need some support of, what is it, balls? Is it nets? Some of those simple, basic things.
Yes.
And then we really appreciate. So thank you very much for bringing us all this kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sponsors is always a problem, especially in ASEA. But when you see it like in South Africa,
yeah,
people are really supporting their local teams.
Were you?
So maybe
you're calling from Windhoek, right?
Yes.
Were you at the African Stars Chula match?
In fact, I didn't hear about it because I could have gone.
Oh, you didn't hear about it? That's a problem we have now.
I know my Katekulu is always calling in that Chula Chula most of the time.
Yeah.
And I always talk to him that, yes, listen, the problem is that, you know what happened to Man City yesterday?
Yeah, they were.
Dominating the whole game, but you cannot score. What does that mean now? That means we are not producing them. So I discovered some of the technical issue challenge in most of those games.
Mm.
I still do play soccer even at my age. I play.
Yeah.
And I always coordinate in the field. So thank you very much for updating us.
Thank you for calling.
Well.
Right.
Yes, that was one of our listeners there. If you'd like to chime in before we get in touch with our next guest, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. I can confirm now that the round 25 of the Demarine Namibia Premiership has concluded. That is, of course, African Stars, not of course, but African Stars lost 2-0 to KK Palace. Young African Chula Chula 0-0. Okahandja United, Young Brazilians 2-1. Four Young Brazilians. Tigers beating Kuka Tops 3-1. Mighty Gunners losing to Comas Nampol 3-1. And then we had FC Ongos and Julinho playing to a 0-0 draw. UNAM and Blue Boys playing to a 0-0 draw, and Bucks Buccaneers leaving the coast with, actually, I don't know if they were in the coastal here, but they beat the coastal teams, both of them, 1-0 beating Blue Waters and then beating Blue Boys 2-0. So Stalila actually dropped 5 points this weekend, but Young African couldn't take advantage. after they drew twice as well, so they dropped 4 points. But the gap between the two sides is now, has been shortened, one could say. But Young African could have been on top because they came in 3 points behind. But now they trail by two. So the title race is heating up there. But moving on, staying on local news, we had the Comma Schools Sport Region, that's the KSSR Youth Football Tournament, took place at the Eros Primary School. This was on Saturday. So it was players from, they said, 38 different schools competing in under 11, under 9, and the under 13 categories. On the other side of this, we'll get in touch with the chairman of the KSSR to hear more about this tournament and, yeah, just to update the nation on what was going on the developmental side of things in the sport of football. We will get in touch with him right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia.
Mr. Terence DeCiro, are you with us?
Yep, I'm with you guys.
All right. Welcome to the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you very much for making time. I am now joined on the line by the chairman of the KSSR, that is Mr. Terence DeCiro. How are you doing this evening?
No, we are doing okay. We are almost done with our tournament that we held at Eros Primary School today.
Mm-hmm. Also, it continued today.
Yeah, it continued today. The finals, it was today.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning. First, let's start with, give us a description. What was this tournament? What was it for? How many teams and so on?
Yeah, actually, this tournament was to attract the primary schools.
Mm-hmm.
We are about to begin with our league. So we call all the primary school in Commerce region to come bring their teams so that we can just to motivate them on the upcoming league that will start probably next term.
And sorry to cut you off. This league that you are mentioning, what is this league?
This is actually the NSSU KSSR league, Commerce League, whereby the under 9, under 11, under 13 of the different school participate. Just to keep the momentum of soccer running in Commerce region.
Okay. So, this was like a warm up to that league.
Exactly. It was a kind of a warm up to the league. We were fortunate in Commerce region to undergo the COSAFA D license. Most of the executive committee for primary conveners, they undergone this, training.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to showcase their skill that they acquired there, just in the preparation for the upcoming league now.
Okay.
The biggest problem that we are having actually, why we did this, is that we are finding ourselves in a financial corner.
Okay.
As people know, around Commerce regions, school leads are not going accordingly. They tend to take their kids to hostel and so on. So we thought of really this. We try to find a way to bring this love of soccer back to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought of, let's bring all the school without any registrations. Like a small money that we had from the contribution from different schools. We said now all schools, irrespective of being registered or whatever it is, they might just bring their learners for this age group and complain. And we'll cover the rest of the expenses. But which is was a very, very heavy burden to the cases of account actually. Mm-hmm. As we do not have any financial support from anywhere. It's only the government that's giving us the helping hand and so on.
Okay. So staying now on this, the issue of resources, you're saying the only help we got is from the government. Is that now, is it because you were rejected from other sources, or what is the reason that the finances are an issue for this league? Sorry, let me just clarify the question. You said the financial is for the tournament that took place this weekend, yes?
Yeah.
So for the upcoming league now, do we have finances for that one?
Really, we do not have any finances for that. Or we tend to let the school register, but definitely this. Initially, what happened is this. The government does help us. All government school in Commerce Region mm-hmm. contributed $2 per learner.
Okay.
For all sport codes to take place. So if, when we talk about sport codes, we talk all the different sport codes,
mm-hmm.
irrespective of soccer. And this league to function, it needs finance. We do not have fields to play on. We don't have the necessary soccer ball. All the soccer balls and so on. All this necessary equipment and resources we do not have here.
Okay. Mm. And so, as I was saying, is this now because you received rejection from other sources, or exactly what has been issue in getting funding?
We did receive a rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's so painful, really, because it's so painful. I did write letters to all companies that I have come across.
Okay.
Because I'm in the capital city, we have been rejected. They are only financing Premier Leagues. When we come there, we are late every time. But it's not a matter that the companies do not know us. We are sanctioned by the government. We are in existence for so many, before even I was going to school, a school learner.
Yeah.
But we have knocked in many doors.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, understand what is the problem with, for example, this big corporate company to come on board, to come and start at the grassroots of soccer. Because grassroots starts here at the school level.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been keep knocking them. And to no avail until now.
So, is this a process that started this year, or is it you started this last year already?
As I said, we KSSR has been in existence before I started even teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about 10 years or so on. I believe they have been knocking doors until there's no sponsorship that can say that we can take the under nine, we fully sponsor all the under nine soccer team for primary school in Commerce Region.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is also in other region. I believe in other region. Just imagine if Commerce is suffering, what about the other region that are far from the main sources?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, one can only imagine. So there was around 38 schools that participated in the tournament this weekend, correct?
Yeah. We there were about 38 schools that participated in this tournament.
From these 38 schools, are these all the schools that had football teams, or were there more schools that wanted to participate and couldn't, or what exactly went into that number?
No, some schools did not participate, but roughly, we do have plus minus 100 and 100 something plus minus schools in Commerce Region.
Mm-hmm.
But some schools do not have the sport codes of soccer, but mm-hmm. they do venture in other sport codes.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the schools, really, if we talk about the number of 38,
yeah,
we believe that that was the highest number that really turned up.
Okay. And so I was only at the tournament on the Saturday. If you are able to share the results of the tournament, who won the tournament in the various age groups?
Yeah, the result will be shared soon via the page. But as we are talking now, I left it almost to be done now, especially the under 11 and under 13 age group.
Okay. Speaking of now the upcoming events, what can the residents of Comas, what can they look forward to in terms of events from the KSSR in the next few months?
Yeah, we started with the primary schools. This was just a kind of introductory to that the leagues are going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And we are planning to start with a secondary school early next term to have the same tournament. Also, where we are going to invite all the secondary schools in Comas region without any registration to come showcase their talents. I mean, just to motivate them.
Yeah.
Because it seems that soccer talented players are left down there in deep in Katutura, they're deep in Havana there. So we want to bring them, sensitize them that we are there for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to just level the playground for disadvantaged learners around Comas region.
Okay. Okay. My second last question, actually. So now, of all the teams that participated in the tournament, are they some of those teams that won't be in the league, or how exactly is it going to work? Who is going to participate in the league?
All those teams are going to be part of the league. Actually, all the schools that all the primary schools, they will be part of the league.
Okay.
Because one objective of this also, which we were busy trying to scout our regional team.
Okay.
Our under 13 regional team and our under 11 regional team.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not go as we planned due to some technical problems that we it was beyond our control.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to bring them to make sure that they are going to. We just wanted to bring schools on board, just to sensitize. It's also our main goal behind this tournament, actually.
Okay. Lastly, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners before we let you go this evening?
Really, what I can say is that really we are looking forward to for sponsorship. Really, we lack financial muscles to run the affairs of school sports.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to cut you off there, but I'm sure you are aware now of all the plans that have been proposed for sports in the country. You know, the money that was allocated to the different developmental leagues and so on. Has the KSSR not been able to engage with the ministry when it comes to tapping into that funding, or exactly how does that line of communication work? Because, you know, in the manifesto, these are the type of leagues that are said that they are going to be funded by those funds that are being provided.
Yeah, for now, we'll say that we are sitting and waiting. As we are all reading from the newspapers and so on, we were not yet directly engaged at this level. But from the look of things, it sounds so positive. But we are talking about the whole Namibia. All this, that fund that it's been allocated, we are talking about the whole four corners of Namibia. So I don't know how far will the government really cater this project. I mean, help the school to run their affair of the sports, but the main companies need to come on board also, because really, if we talk about sport, it's one of the things that help our learners to get away from many things out. Nowadays, the latest study that I've read now recently is that more of our learners are on Facebook, WhatsApp. They tend to become like now zombie. And the only thing that can keep this learner active is through sport.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only way that we can keep our learner active. And this is also going to help them academically when you keep the learners in sport.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, yeah.
I'm pleading with the companies like MTC. Why don't they just start at the grassroots level? Mm. SMD. Why don't they start at the grassroots level? Because this is the only way that they can grow all different sport codes. It's through schools.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ndisiro, thank you very much for making time for us today.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best in the future tournaments coming up, and Eagle FM will be there to cover as soon as the league starts, you can just let us know and we will be there, of course.
That's very good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Mr. Terence Ndisiro speaking to us about this youth football tournament that took place. I mean, as you are speaking, my mind was going in very different places. You know, the wheels were turning there, as you could hear from some of my questions. But, you know, that whole thing is a topic for another day. We can get into that another day, because we have another guest we have coming up soon. But if you'd like to chime in before we reach out to our next guest, the number in the studio is 0832888401. Maybe you had a son participating in that football league that he's talking about. And as I just said, you have a son. Something that came up that didn't cross my mind when I was at the tournament. There was no girls football there, actually. If there was, I completely missed it. But from the fields that I saw, there was no girls football. So that would actually be interesting to hear, or to find out, what does girls football at the school level look like? What are the disparities between boys and girls when it comes to football? Now, speaking of girls football, we had Namibia hosted the under-17 girls COSAFA championship. We hosted that over the past week or so at the Hage Geingob Stadium here in Windhoek, and the champions of the tournament were Zambia. My English left me there. Was Zambia. Defending champions, they won the title in 2024. No, if I go through some of their statistics, it's actually amazing how somehow Zambia has just been able to figure out women's football, I suppose. You know? They won the final 3-0 against Malawi. They've only conceded one goal in the whole tournament, and that was in the semifinals to Zimbabwe. Coming into the tournament, they had made the finals four times and winning it twice. They are now three-time champions, the only team to win it more than once. And obviously the only team to successfully defend their title. They're unequivocally the most successful team in the tournament. In the tournament, they played four matches, scored 21 goals and conceded just the one, as I said. And in their history in the tournament, across now six tournaments, they've scored a total of 129 goals in 26 games. That's an average of almost 5 goals per game, 4.9 goals per game to be exact. They also walked away with a goalkeeper of the tournament award. As I said, only conceding one, obviously they'll get that. Player of the tournament also went to Zambia. That was the jersey number 10. Her name was Ruth Mubanga. She was the captain as well, won the player of the tournament. And on the Namibian side, the top goal scorer of the tournament, Golden Boot winner, went to none other than Nancy Lebang, who scored 7 goals in one match against Comoros when we beat Comoros 10-0, which was a historic performance. Almost took us to the semifinals, but we needed help from other nations that we didn't get. But she scored 7 goals in that fixture, our first win in the tournament. In our history in competing in the tournament. And of course, we had a player score 2 hat tricks in one match, and she was able to walk away with the golden Golden Boot. On the other side of this, we'll get in touch with Isaac Hamacha, Marketing and Sales Director at the Namibian Football Association, just to give us his insight on how Namibia performed, how we did as hosts. And Mr. Isaac is actually also on the organizing committee of the Region 5 games coming up. So this was kind of a precursor for Namibia as to how we do when we host international tournaments, with another one coming up imminently. So on the other side of this, we'll hear from him and continue our conversation.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Okay, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We are joined on the line by none other than Mr. Isaac Hamacha from the NFA. Mr. Isaac, how are you doing this evening?
Hello, please say that again.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear. Just say that again. I missed a few words.
No, I was just saying we are joined by Mr. Isaac Hamacha from the NFA.
No. Okay, thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Yes, thank you very much for making time for us today. Please, give us your thoughts on the COSAFA Girls Championships that just took place. From a performance standpoint from Namibia, and then as hosts, how do you think we did as hosts of this tournament?
Look, what we need to applaud is that the tournament took place and it concluded without any incident.
Mm-hmm.
We crowned the champion. It was a great final between Zambia and Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
We congratulate the winner. We congratulate everybody that took part from the 9 countries, including ours, the organizers, officials, those who attended and those who supported. We are grateful for especially the expatriates, people from other countries who live and work in Namibia,
yes,
who came to support their teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was great, especially the final when you had sets of Zambians and sets of Malawians, many of them professionals in the country, their embassies also.
I thought they traveled just for the match.
No, some I actually know them personally.
Okay.
One of them is my personal dentist. Yes, they are okay. Professional, and many of them are coincidentally in the medical space.
Mm.
Yeah, and in the accounting space. So some traveled with the team, but you would have distinguished them because they were wearing their national colors, but the others who were just casually dressed. No. Actually resident here, but they are from those countries. So I think that was for me very good. But from I'm a bit disappointed that Namibians did not come out to support football, not necessarily the Namibian team.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come to support the team. And maybe you could say it's because of the distance and so on. Yeah, but I think it's just a lesson that we need to do better as Namibians to support opportunities like this that we have to host,
mm-hmm,
to host tournaments of this nature. It is not every day that we are given an opportunity to host.
Yeah.
And when we are given, we should show, because at the end of the day, these things will become bigger and they will pass us by and we'll be crying that we don't get these opportunities.
Exactly.
For now, you don't really get money to host, but you would know that as football grows, as sport grows,
yeah,
the international bodies will start to say, listen, for hosting this tournament, we're giving you 20 million for your national teams.
Yeah.
And by that time, we should have really done well. For now, that doesn't happen. But if it happens, we should not be caught wanting. We should not be caught sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But from a Namibian performance point of view, we played our first match against Malawi.
Yeah.
We lost 3-0. Unfortunately, that's what it is. I'm not a coach or a technical person to say how and why we lost, but we lost. Malawi was really better than us in all respects, and that's why they went to the final,
mm-hmm.
and they lost 3-0 in the final. We played our second game against Comoros. We needed to score at least 12 goals. Unfortunately, we stopped at 10, and our player Lebang was then voted as top goal scorer of the tournament, which for us is something pleasing.
Yes.
They really went all out in the second match, but unfortunately, those two goals eluded us. We would then have played, instead of Mozambique, we would have played the semi-final. And I think that would have perhaps attracted a lot of fans to the field.
Mm-hmm.
It also plays a role how far your country goes in a tournament. People stay away because, they don't see their country in the tournament at a particular point. So, I'm just mentioning a number of factors. I really do not put a finger on the dial to say, this is the factor, whether it's the distance, whether it's that Namibia crashed out early and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But organizationally, we put up, I think, something good.
Mm-hmm.
We rewarded or awarded the winning team. And may I just say, look, we had the benefit of having the COSAFA people who are more skilled at organizing tournaments at this level and at this magnitude. It's their job.
Yeah.
COSAFA mainly, they have 10 tournaments that they organize every year. They do these things with closed eyes. And then for many of us at the FA, it's really another opportunity to learn so that when we do our own thing here, when we do our leagues, our cup competitions, our youth tournaments, that we will then pick the learning from what we have learned over the past week,
yeah.
and just bring them down. Those guys work like clockwork. If a match starts at 3, it must start at 3.
Yeah,
there's
no,
a
definitely.
Countdown that happens. And that countdown must be respected. If you are in the way, you are going to push out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in Namibia, we are really very relaxed when it comes to things like that.
Very much so.
Tournament rules, tournament regulations, how journalists operate on the field, how officials just crowd the working area. All of these things, you see, we are the same Namibians.
Yeah.
Who were very disciplined during those tournaments. But when it's our own competitions, we are all over the show. Journalists will complain. No, I want to stand here. Don't push me around. But when it's the other people, we really abide by what they expect us to do. So that's the standard. Let's live up to that standard, because what it does, it elevates the level of our football and how we organize things.
Mm-hmm.
These are theoretically things we know, but implementation, because I know you and I don't want to push you around, but you know that you mustn't stand there.
Exactly.
You mustn't walk in front of a TV camera, for instance. If you are a photographer, there's a particular place where you must sit. If you are not a photographer, but you are just a reporter, you must sit somewhere else.
Exactly.
These things, they look basic, but that's how the success and failure of a tournament is based on many of those things. Officials as well.
Yeah.
You come and walk upside down, you are in the medical room, you are in the GC's room, and you have no job there. You go into the VIP area, you are disturbing people who are the technical study group, you are there. All of these things. And when it's COSAFA, we are all disciplined. We know our space.
Mm.
As Namibian. When it's local, we just decide, who can tell me what?
Yes,
so but all in all, I'm pleased, as my leadership would be, and every Namibian who watched what was happening,
mm-hmm.
that things went really well. Yeah, and then one of the worries, maybe I must say it loudly, one of the worries that coming into the tournament, we had incidences of kidnapping and rape and killing of our children. And people were expressing fear that these things might happen while the tournament is on. And we would not say it because it was a security issue at the time.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we would not have said it because it was a security issue.
Mm.
We had safeguards in place. We had security measures in place.
Mm-hmm.
We could not say it, because otherwise we would be throwing the game away.
Yeah.
And we would be alerting the criminals.
Yeah, of course.
But in hindsight, we are now saying that also went well from a protection point of view. These are people's children coming into our country.
Yeah.
And we needed to make sure that they are guided. That's why you would have seen escorts, which are mandatory, by the way. You have to have a team coming in with a police escort so that whatever happens, that they are protected.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the facility where we had the tournament at Agege Cup, every measure was in place to make sure that whatever happens, we will contain that that unsavory incident if it would have happened.
Yes.
But yes, and we thank the government of the Republic of Namibia. If without it, without its support, you know, everything that comes into the country from outside needs the approval or one of either the office, ministry or agency of the government.
Yes.
Home Affairs and Immigration played a big role. Customs played a big role. Ministry of Foreign Affairs played a big role in this. Security and safety played a big role.
Mm-hmm.
All of these agencies played a very big ensuring that our visitors come in and they are not disturbed while they are here. And
yes.
that took constant engagement between the NFA and the different ministries that I mentioned to make sure that when they arrive, they do come in. Our goods that came in from, you would have seen that the kids were dressed in kappa, for duration of the tournament. The ball girls, the flag bearers, the girls that went through the referee's course. These
yeah.
things were came through by truck. They could have been stopped if there were clearance issues and so on, but they came in because we worked with all the agencies, NAMRA and so on, in the beginning. And that's a learning that maybe NFA can share with another sports code that is going to organize an international event so that also there things happen seamlessly and not creating chaos, unsavory and distastefulness and so on. Because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, what we learn here is about what Namibia should take forward and move on. Because we have also learned from other codes. Other codes can also learn from us, and therefore Namibians then learn how to organize. There will be bigger events. Next year we have the Cricket World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they must ask the NFA, but NFA now is an experience. We had the under 15 schools last year where you also were.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had this one. So we, from what I saw last year and learned last year and what I saw, there's maybe 10% extra of what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that you learn, and all of these learnings put together. I think maybe it's my own feeling, but these things need to be documented somewhere. A blueprint that the Ministry of Sport and the Sports Commission would say, this is a blueprint for organizing international sports events. From when you must start, from how you deal with customs issues, how you deal with visa issues,
yeah.
How you deal with every issue to allow that the tournament kicks off well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, yeah, I must mention, you now start to understand that some of the laws that we have in our country, especially around visa, they perhaps need to be revisited.
Yeah.
Without saying much, we have to, these laws were written either early before independence and adopted by our country, or they were just amended at independence. They don't take regard for us having to host international matches.
Yeah.
So, and there are some restrictions and some things which we overcame because of constant engagement,
mm-hmm.
but they should not happen. If we had fallen asleep during the process, there would have been a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But because we were vigilant, we were advised, we read, we understood, we overcame these things. But I think as a sports fraternity, we need to submit an opinion to the legislative body to say we would like to hear from sports things change in particular manner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for as an example,
mm-hmm.
there's a law that says if a team comes in, the athletes are exempt from that work visa.
Yeah.
In terms of the payment.
Yeah.
But the officials who are accompanying the kids, they must pay, I think, an amount of 1,000 something. Now, already, these people are traveling by bus, or they are spending money already, and now you want them to pay. And that's what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
But we, like I said, through engagements, we these things, we're not enforced because they understand the importance of hosting this tournament and for people not to pay. But what if there's a new group of leaders that come and they say, no, we want to enforce this?
Exactly.
So we need to say, as we move into the sports tourism idea, where we want to have a lot of sports events in our country, attracting many sports events and people coming into our country and therefore building our economy through that.
Yeah.
We need to start looking at these laws and see that they are relaxed or they are just amended to allow for the free flow of people. Because obviously there are security issues.
Mm-hmm.
We can take care of that. But if people genuinely come for sports, we need to make sure that their stay is happy and that they are not being made to, or they are forced to be here and to pay the hard-earned money which they could otherwise be spending in our shops and so on.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you would think those guidelines and things are something that's already in place within the various administrative offices. But as you said, maybe in the coming months, things will change. But not to take up too much of your time, I do have a few follow-up questions based now on
please proceed.
On what you said. So my first one is, as a as an administrator, what do you think we can learn at Namibia now? What we can learn from the way Zambia has performed, not only in this tournament, but in this competition's history in general? You know, I asked Coach Carol during one of the interviews, basically, what is the secret? And she said it's the leagues that they have in Zambia for the girls. The girls have many opportunities to play. So what do you think Namibia needs to do for our girls to get on par with the likes of Zambia?
You are exactly correct, as I would say in an English from another country. Zambia, they have moved. That same team was here last year under 15.
Mm-hmm.
And they were earlier under 13.
Mm-hmm.
They are in leagues. They have a TDS program, which is the talent development scheme funded by FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
Malawi is the same. And that program allows you to have a foreign coach that is full-time coaching your girls. Holidays, they come in a camp and they are taught football for maybe a month or two.
Yeah.
Now, that is why you would have seen the executive council of the NFAF said, we need to start women's leagues in all the 14 regions.
100%.
When the season ends this year, every region should have had a women's league. This is the first time we're introducing such leagues, because we know with constant playing, that's when kids improve. They're mm-hmm. exposed to, you could have seen both Malawi and Zambia, the way those girls are toned, their conditioning is super.
Yeah.
And the way they telepathically work with each other.
Yeah, they were playing one-touch football.
Yes.
Yeah.
At an under-16 level.
Yeah.
It's because they have been together for a couple of years and they have got coaching, intensive coaching, and the importance of football is drummed into their heads, and they know they are playing for a contract. They are not just playing for Zambia. They are playing for a contract. Yeah. When they turn 18, they should be leaving their countries to go and play for clear class. Women's football is becoming very big, explosive. FIFA is putting a high premium on women's football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what should we learn? That is what we have already started to understand. With the support of FIFA, we will also now roll out our TTS program so that we can get to a level where these girls start. Because now, when these girls are going, they maybe arrived already in Zambia and Malawi. They rest maybe for a week, then they get back into their program.
Yeah.
Then they look at next year. They look at who is older than the age group, maybe move to under 19 or under 18,
mm-hmm.
and then we put in kids from the under. That program is already there. I've had an opportunity to speak to their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting both with the Malawian and the Zambian people,
yeah.
watching their final match. And they are both saying the same thing. They are both going to go and after a week back to the drawing board, looking at how they can prepare for Malawi. Say they want to come and win it next year. By the way, Zambia is hosting the next year. Kosovo girls under 17.
Okay.
So they are going to be home, the Zambians. They want to retain it for the third time.
Of course.
And
yeah.
the Malawians are saying, we are not going to beat us again. And this, so we, like I said, Namibia, we, that's why I was sitting there to learn, so that tomorrow when we do debriefs, that's the message I will put across. But our coaches have also now picked up on that. They've also had their engagements with senior staff of COSAFA, with the coaches of the two teams and so on. So everybody was going to make an input into the post-mortem, into the debrief, so that we build a plan for next year.
So you say our TDS program is on the way as well?
Yes, it has been approved by FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
It must just be rolled out.
Okay, okay.
Yes, and then what that means is there is going to be a leak.
Mm-hmm.
In every of our 121 constituencies, there'll be an under 15 league for boys and girls, and there'll be an under 17 league for boys and girls. And the best of the best from that will then be brought to Windhoek to go through an intensive program. And from that, you will pick a national team with 8 under 15 for the CAF schools and under 17 for the COSAFA girls and whatever for the boys if there is. So, and that is really what the other countries are doing. They pick from everybody, bring them together, pick the best of the best with that foreign coach that FIFA has appointed for them and paying for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they prepare their kids for, they, and now you see, I will again emphasize, the way those girls are toned, the way they're conditioning.
Yeah.
My friend, it's exceptional. They have done good work.
Yeah, no, you could see there was a gap definitely between them and the others.
Exactly.
So I assume this league now that you mentioned, it will be a school league, right? Or will it be a club?
No, it's not a school league. Let's call it an NFA league,
mm-hmm.
but it's a league that the coordinators of the NFA, in actual fact, let me go back. The TDS program also entails us coaching us training coaches at all those levels to take care of the of those leagues,
okay,
and the administrators. So we are not just training players and coaches, mm-hmm, administrators and referees, youth administrators, youth referees, youth coaches will be trained, mm-hmm, through that program, so that, because Issa Kamata has a couple of years to retire.
Yeah.
I won't be in football forever. Somebody else must come through, and
yeah,
the time is now. So while we have energy, we need to start supporting the young ones,
mm-hmm,
to have the skill to come up, and then we phase out and the new ones come. That cycle must continue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what TDS really intends, to make sure that the young people take over football at their level, and they start breeding talent, so that we have a constant churn out of talent for all our age groups.
Yeah.
So it could be a school, the way it's configured at a constituency, they could say we take the teams from the schools or from the communities or from wherever, but as long as the constituency has a league, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
How it's configured, you see, Vendu, for instance, Comas, for instance, is mainly Vendu.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to pick teams here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to Karas starts from Oranje Mund, Ketman's Whoop, it's far. Oseron Jupa starts in Okahanja, it goes up to Chumkwe. How do you configure your leagues there? So there must be some form of thinking to say, how do we include everybody, every learner, every kid in a constituency? So the dynamic on the ground will be different from constituency to constituency, but there has to be a league of some sort.
Most definitely. I'm not sure if you were listening before I called you, but before you came on, I had Mr. Terence Desira from the Comas School Sports Region on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions he sent in now as he was listening to you is about the attendance that we were just speaking about. Because I was also, since I was covering the tournament, I was also surprised by the lack of supporters in the stands, especially when Namibia was playing. And one question he had now is why was it not possible to bring in school learners to come watch these games?
Great question. Mr. Desira is part of KSSR, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the chairman.
Wasn't it going to be easy for him,
mm-hmm,
to speak to his fellow teachers and principals to mobilize the kids to come?
Mm.
One. But that's not, I'm just saying, we could have, instead of saying, why didn't who do what? Anybody could have done something if you are in a position. But may I speak for me?
Yes, yes.
I called principals. I called teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer that we got, those, some were positive and you could have seen pockets of school kids. Others said our kids are preparing for the exam, which is next week. And therefore, we can't bring our kids. Others were saying, yeah, we don't have transport. If you can avail transport, we will then give you our kids. So all of these things, play their role. But, looking forward, you now know to say, next time, it's a learning. As I said, everything for me is a learning.
Yeah.
Next time. Why don't you say early enough, dispense of the women's leagues, that matches that are playing, dispense of other activities, so that everybody can come and watch the Namibians play.
Exactly.
Yes, because now we say, why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that? I think we have crossed that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning that we must speak and say, for next time, let's do better as a collective. KSSR would have fitted very well in this puzzle to say they are driving the issue of support by the schools to the kids who are playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean the previous CAF tournament, the one in Valfers, that one was well attended. So I was just curious as to what was the difference, you know?
It's mobilization.
Yeah.
It's really just, and then in Walvis Bay, the schools took part, the municipalities took part, the organizing committees consisted of all those people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my last question, actually my second last question. Now, speaking of general football attendance, we had African Stars against Chula Chula on the weekend. You know, it's a big rivalry that's forming. And Coach John of Chula Chula said he was a bit disappointed with the low turnout of the fans. Even me, I was expecting more people, to be honest. But in your view, maybe in your personal view, not speaking on behalf of the NFA, but what do you think needs to happen to get Namibians to the stadiums regularly to support not only football, but sports in general?
Look, I can't divorce myself from the NFA.
Yeah.
I can't hold an opinion different from that of the NFA.
Just give us your answer after this quick commercial break.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
I'm only human, a flesh and blood, I'm made.
Did you know that one in four road deaths involves a pedestrian or cyclist? This UN Global Road Safety Week, play your part in making walking and cycling safer for everyone. Look out for our vulnerable road users. Be alert and be responsible. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
The best just got better. Paratha's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just 500 Namibian dollars, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing, at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Paratha's offices to find out more, or go to paratha.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
Okay, Mr. Hamata, we are back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we were talking about the football attendance.
Yes, like I said, let's start with in my own capacity, which I tried to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see what we can do. The challenge we have, and this is what perhaps you would know, it's a challenge and a challenge. There are some teams who really want to play their soccer at their own venues without others.
Mm.
They want to go solo, and then that's a challenge. But the other side of the coin is we lack facilities, and the rentals are very high of some of these facilities where we play our football.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we would have three or four matches taking place at the same venue.
Yeah.
Say from 12 to going into the night, six to eight and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? All of us will go and congregate at one field, whether it's Independence or SKW or UNAM, all of us, because our teams are all playing there.
Yeah.
It's like your youth league, say the Hopsol, so where the venue is just one.
Mm-hmm.
Like your girls football, where the venue is just the technical center of the NFA. Mm-hmm. There you can see that attendance is better because all the teams that support us are going there. And the stadium looks good because it's filled up. All the supporters are there. Now, in male football, challenges, you play in Okahanja, you play at SKW, you play at UNAM, you play at Independent, you play Wolfies Bay, you play Swakop, you play Oshakati. So it's the dispersion is too wide.
Mm.
We play at different facilities. And not every day you find that somebody has money to pay to go and watch this match at SKW, to go to another at, say, UNAM, and another at Independent. That is $90 per day.
Yeah.
And include now also your issue of the taxi fare or your fuel and so on. So it's really, that for me is the biggest problem. Yesterday, I watched, after the final and the crowning of Zambia as COSAFA champion,
mm-hmm.
we walked over to Independence Stadium. For me, the crowd was satisfactory, really. It was not very bad.
Mm-hmm.
From normally when there's a match there, even African stars, when they play these days, the eastern side is not, you hardly find somebody.
Yeah,
yesterday,
there was
a good number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, there were other matches playing. SKW was also hosting a match. We were just coming from Agikenko where the girls were playing.
Yeah.
And the girls, the Women's Super League was playing. So there's a dispersion. But I think it's a satisfactory number. You won't always get 100% attendance.
Of course. Some of
us also get a match. So, but we really need to see, can we fix the lights at our stadiums? Can us as clubs agree to share the takings with the other clubs? Because that's a major issue among the clubs at the moment. That is what is causing the wide dispersion of teams to play elsewhere and not all together. It takes hard negotiations for teams to play two or three matches at one facility. That's our biggest challenge. But the challenge is acknowledged. I don't think anybody will look past that and say it's not a challenge. It is a challenge. We just need to make sure that we start to speak to each other to circumvent that problem so that our attendance numbers. And that's also where you know who the players are. Because some of us follow only one team. If they don't play, then I don't go. Another guy follows another team only, and he doesn't know. And when we come to the national team selection, we have problems. Who is this player? I don't know him. It's because you have not watched him. And not just because you don't want to watch him.
is because your team plays at a different level where the other player is playing, who is being selected for the national team. Mm-hmm. So you have all of that dynamics. And in other countries, and I know we like doing comparisons, in other countries, our TV, the football is on TV.
Yeah.
Today I was watching Jocelyn Kamatuka playing for Durban City. They were showing the other teams as they were scoring and conceding. So their soccer is always, you know it exactly who is number 27, who is number 6, because it's constantly on TV, exactly. And you now start to identify with particular players. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to get to a level where we need to appreciate who our players are, where they come from. And that we can really just get through TV and radio, constant commentating, interviewing, profiling, all of these things. Yeah. But coming back to the issue of attendance, that is a serious concern. And sponsors also look at that. Sponsors are going to ask you, look, I can put my money. You want me to sponsor for branding purposes. But I can pay for the branding myself. Why must I pay? Why must I give you money for you to brand me while I can pay that myself?
Yeah.
They want impact. We are now moving into a space. What type of impact does my sponsorship have if I put it in football? Mm. How many people are enjoying that product? Mm. How many people are purchasing the product that I own as a company? At your match and so on. So that's not the language that corporate speak. That's that was that want to, and they look at numbers. If you don't have the numbers on the field, on the tarmacs, on the pavilions, they are hesitant to put their money there. So they can go to another community, another court, and that's where they will put their money because that's where they see people being happy with the product that's being displayed there.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, my very last question for you this evening is the upcoming Region 5 games. How do you think this hosting of the Under 17 Girls Championship, how did that prepare us for the Region 5 games?
Look, Region 5, as you perhaps would know by now, the COSAFA Under 17 Girls Championship was a test run for the Region 5, particularly for the football part. Because the NFA will be managing the football part of Region 5. There are 13 codes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said earlier, we were adequately prepared. Because the same things we did this past week, those are the things we are going to be expected to do. And here you have 10 countries participate. One more country, you would have 10 male teams and 10 female teams.
Yeah.
So you must do it twice as much. You will have a team for the women's side of the football tournament, and another team for the men's side of the football tournament. So the learnings we picked up here are going to be transformed or transplanted into the Region 5. And I always say, you can never say you are properly prepared or adequately prepared until the tournament starts. And then you start to see there's this thing that we didn't take care of, there's this thing. But we have taken notes, as I said. From tomorrow onwards, we are going to start debriefing so that we know for Region 5. And Region 5, the confederations like COSAFA in this case, we have weekly meetings on Thursday where we brief each other, the confederation representatives, the subcommittee chairpersons for the different portfolios. We each present a report on what have I done this week? How is it going to assist the tournament to be a success? And everybody chips in to say, we don't think what you are planning is going to work. We don't think that thing that your idea is going to work. Let's change it in this manner. Previously, this is how we did things. And it did not work. Can we try it differently? Or it worked. Why do you want to change a tire that's already rolling, a wheel that's already rolling? So, yeah. And it's not criticism, it's critique. Because I have never been at a Region 5 competition, and others were. They provide that learning. I'm, for instance, chairperson of the subcommittee of ceremonies and entertainment. I cannot now bring my own plan while there's a standard. The game's manual tells you how these things must be done.
Exactly.
And that's what you must report on. You, for instance, if you had invited VIPs, how many have you invited? For what have you invited them? What is their role there? Legends, when they come, what are they expected to do? When you do the torch tour, why are you doing the torch tour? What are the activities you are going to do in every region that you are going to go? Why have you picked a particular region and a particular official to engage in that torch tour? All of these things, I'm not talking about my perspective of ceremony there. Other people are going to be reporting on their issue. So to just bring it back is every week when we were appointed, we have been reporting to each other. You remember we did the 100 days launch.
Yeah.
We did the launch itself and we did the sundowner. We did a teams draw. We did four major activities already.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably would do four more, including tree planting and all of these things, before we get to the main tournament itself, which will start with an opening ceremony on the 4th of July. So all of these things need constant engagement, constant advice, constant changing and chopping, so that you know that when you get to the 4th of July, you have a knife that's very, very sharp, and it can cut through whatever it is that needs to be cut, so that you can make a success of Region 5. But so far, things have been well, but I always say there's always something that comes that you have not thought of.
Yeah.
And that's why those who know better than us, there are some guys who have organized this tournament for so many years. They know it with their eyes closed, but there's always something that comes up that they think of, yeah, let's do it this way, let's do that. And for us, it's again a learning. It's again a learning. And now, earlier brought the issue of crowd. Now we need to know, how do we deal with the schools so that they can, how do we deal with the city of Windhoek? How do we deal with the government to provide the buses?
Yeah.
We already now need to put that plan into motion tomorrow already. Speak to the relevant, say the Inspectorate of Education, Directorate of Education in Commerce, so that already we can start the discussion about availing buses, the municipality, the government, all of these things. The kids might need food. Where do we get that food from while they are watching football?
Exactly.
All of those things are what we have now picked up and we need to start to implement.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Mr. Amata, thank you very much for your time and for your answers today. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And may your listeners have a good evening and a very bright start to the week tomorrow.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, there was Mr. Isa Kamata giving us some insight there on not only the COSAFA Championships, but the Region 5 as well. Gave us some good insight there. And normally, this would be towards the end of the program, but we do have one more guest coming up.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Give me a minute, man, to just say some few things again.
Okay.
And I think we have spoken, most of the things that we have spoken already, we see them cropping into the discussion, especially Mr. Amata. I'm very grateful for all what he has said, especially on the mobilization of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization, at least at the constituency level. You can see how those structures that are already in existence that need to be made functioning.
Yeah.
And all those things. I can tell you one of the experiences that I have seen. My brother is a coach, a boxing coach. And is involved in those issues of, you know, martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, when there are boys and the girls are coming from his club, and those different clubs within that region there. So no letter, even saying that, yes, this is the letter that is coming to you people, you are invited and things like that, your learners or so, and then the things goes up to the parents and even the school management.
Mm.
You can see that that kind of a communication, the information is not flowing in a formal manner. And you know the rules, like we talked about, you know, to observe those codes and things like that. Especially when we need to get the support, like you said. These people are so scattered. They are so scattered, you also duplicate the resources and the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, this one is taking place, this other one is taking place in the same match, and you want them to be in the same league or whatever the arrangement is. So thank you very much, because it's there now, it's an administrator to administer. So when you are administering, so you need to make sure that all these decentralization issues and all these things, the coordination, all these things, we have spoken about it. There are some facilities. For example, did you not speak about, it was in the, when we were talking about boxing today with your colleagues. that there are even churches there, those facilities and all these things that are in existence. So I thank you very much, my brother, for bringing up those things. So we need to seriously encourage and also mobilize in the street there. When we walk in the street, usually we used to people are saying, hey, sports, and you know, they are talking and all these radios and all these things. So the things, lastly, these things must be documented. For example, now, I don't know who is the Amata who spoke about these things to be documented so that you know now the experience. So you have held this kind of event, and this is how it came and all these things. So be documented and to be publicized.
Yes.
So that we know, and the sponsor will know, especially the thing that we talked about. So you now hear how that Amata is talking about it. It's very necessary. People are that order. There must be some kind of, social order, or I don't know what you call it. So all these things need to be observed because people are looking at us and we are marketing the country. So thank you very much, my brother. God bless you for the opportunity again.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, on the other side of this, we'll get in touch with our final guest for the evening, Ms. Juanita Witbeen, the new Netball Namibia president. We'll be right back after this.
Oulio mnangeshefa, nawahara kushivifa oma akuro eo kupitira mohorike radio station aweo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono rahe tatu natu, mbali o he tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2.
Welcome back to Eagle Sports Zone. We are now joined on the line by Ms. Juanita Witbeen. Ms. Witbeen, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you very much for making time for us today. If you can, please share with the listeners on your new appointment. How does it feel? And yeah, we'll take it from there.
Okay. Good evening, listeners. It's actually an incredible honor, and I am humbled to be entrusted with such a responsibility. Personally, it's a proud moment, not just for me,
mm-hmm.
but everybody that has been with me through the journey and allowing me to plow more into what I believe and the potential I have for netball in Namibia.
Mm-hmm. So now speaking of that potential for netball that we have in Namibia, you know, the league has been greatly supported by MTC, confirmed for another year this year. Talk to us a little bit about the growth you've seen in the sport and what more you think is to come from the sport.
A lot of growth has come in terms of the league and the sponsorship that we receive from MTC.
Mm-hmm.
It is just testament that when we talk about our national team, and that is where the structure comes through, as we would say 2-3 years we were rated 24, and now we are currently in position 18, meaning that there's a lot of growth. Players are really taking the front line in terms of the opportunity that they are given through the sponsorship that we are getting from MTC and making it an elite league. And I think that's just the beginning, and a lot more to come with the sponsorship that we receive from MTC.
Yes. Now, obviously, you're just now coming in into the role. I assume you haven't had, time to fully settle in. But what are some areas or some goals that you're looking to address during your tenure?
Okay, thank you so much. I have been acting for 3 months. 2.5 months this far.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in as the role as Vice President Development, which I was co-opted 2 years ago. So I've been in the structure for a while. There are some strategic plans that we have set up already when we were elected in 2022 mm-hmm. that we need to look into. That is our regional structure, trying to source funding for our first division league, since we have now have funds for our premier. And then the first division is what is the feeding. So those are the areas that we still need to look into. We have also need to look into infrastructures. Working with the government, with the plans that they have, the local authorities, so that we can set up facilities, not even though they're not proper, but just facilities which the regions can use
mm-hmm.
for development within their regions, our aim for Commonwealth, and then continuing to participate and qualify for the World Cup 2027.
Yes. And I'd like to talk about a little bit now on the developmental side of things. You know, we have on Friday, I believe it was, the school league was launched here in Windhoek. From a president's point of view, what does the developmental landscape of netball look like in Namibia?
I think we are still trying to craft strong communication and strong alliance with mm-hmm. the school setup. We have started engaging and rebuilding our relationship with NSSU, mm-hmm. whereby we would have to come into an agreement that in the areas that we look at, that is now setting up our technical side, setting up our coaches in terms of high performance that we are growing into mm-hmm. and the direction that we are moving into. So we're still crafting that, and then making sure that we speak the same language when it comes from the school setup, and when they join into the national platform from the age of under 18, 19, when they come now to our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But then the growth in the country is visible. I think through the weekend of the Newspaper Cup, if I could say touch a bit on it,
mm-hmm.
there is growth in the regions where we felt that the development is really a bit slow, but come to see it that regions like Kavango East are the winners of the Newspaper Cup, whereby you sit back and you would expect it to be Erongo or Chagonjupa or Comas. So that means that we are going in the right direction. We just need to now go back, plow into the regions, ask for assistance where we can, and we really need that. So we are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear on that front, especially, you know, a lot of the listeners, they like to mention that there's, me as well, you know, that there's more sports in Namibia than just, you know, football, rugby, so on. So it's great to hear that, we're experiencing this growth in the sport of netball. I'd like to hear from you now, what is something, what are you looking forward to the most in this position? What's something that's exciting you the most?
Exciting me the most in this position is the fact that I come from a lot of backgrounds. As when I came into the sport, I was a player, and mm-hmm. then I went to a technical setup. I was and then into coaching,
mm-hmm.
and my excitement is that the only thing now for us to do is just strengthen partnership with ourselves, regional structures, and mm-hmm. make sure that we just unite and work together. Because there is growth, we just need to now plow harder. And I'm excited to just see what is it that we can do. And especially with the grassroots level, where we need to go back. We have set our senior side.
Yeah.
It's testament that everybody can see that the senior side, we are getting there, we are gelling there, but now we need to go back. And then I'm excited, because when I go back, it means that I need to start where I started before I entered in the space of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see what is it that we will do in the next 2 years.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear that the leader of the sport will be someone that's been in the shoes of the people that you are trying to lead. So now, speaking of having been in those shoes, what is from the time you are a netball player and the netball players you're seeing today, what's been maybe one or two differences that you notice in the two? Can be good or bad.
I think one thing that we that is a takeaway and which we back then did not have the opportunity is having sponsors come back and wanting to sponsor you and making sure that the game you love is continuously played throughout the years that are still to come, because back then we played netball. Not only on, we only played netball, and then you could never see yourself hosting an international tournament. And look where we are now. We successfully hosted an international tournament which took place in December last year. That means that there is growth and opportunity for us to grasp everything we get for netball in the country. And it's an exciting time. And it's an exciting time that I'm, that we are moving into.
Most definitely, most definitely. Yeah. Is there anything, before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to leave with the listeners?
There is a lot of excitement that will still need to come. Our dear listeners in Namibia at large, all we would want from Netball Namibia is your support in the endeavors that we are looking forward to. You as our speakers and spokespersons out there in the community. At this point, we are also going to launch our new, gender-based violence. That is also an area that we are looking into for 2025 season. So it would be good that our listeners can drive in front of us so that we continue fighting this challenge that we are having within our country. But, please do take our hands, your voices, and then shout out to everybody else that is listening.
Most definitely, we will follow suit. Ms. Whitbien, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations once again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good evening.
All right, that was Ms. Juanita Whitbien, the new president of Netball Namibia. We've gone a little bit over the time today, but if there's any last comments, last callers that would like to come in, I'm happy to stay on a bit longer. The line in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Don't forget, tomorrow is the Villager Day. 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. If you haven't subscribed to the Villager yet, simply send us a WhatsApp message. Save the number if you haven't, and you will become a subscriber. Cost you a total of $0 and 0 cents. One big takeaway I had from the conversation we just had now with Miss Whitbien is she said we need to, I'm paraphrasing now, she said, the association is basically realigning with the NSSU again to, you know, repair the relationship and continue moving forward. And, you know, that's three. Well, I guess you can say all four guests that I've had today have had something to say about the NSSU. And, you know, we've spoken about it on here before. I've had a whole show about the NSSU. We've spoken about it with the minister. And it's very clear or evident that if the development is to succeed, it can't happen without the NSSU and without the NSSU working in tandem with all the various organizations and federations and communities. And even its own committees or organizations. So, NSSU, let's be the change that we want to see when it comes to sport. And, as I referenced on the line with Ms. Whitbien, MTC has agreed to sponsor the league once more, the Netball League, Netball Premier League once more, and scheduled to kick off at the end of May, 31st May. MTC will be injecting $2.9 million for the season. which I think was, I don't have last season's number in front of me, but if I remember correctly, it was in the same ballpark. And so, and as Ms. Wijbin alluded, the theme they said for the league is going to be combating against gender-based violence, which I think is a great initiative, especially it being netball, predominantly, can I say predominantly or even exclusively female sport? So to have them advocate for that will be beautiful to see throughout the season. And I believe they said they're going to be playing with purple ribbons on their uniforms. So that will be great to see as well, to get make sure that message is continuing to be amplified. As Mr. Hamata alluded to, you know, there's been various situations, unfortunate, terrible situations happening in the society all over the country. So it's good to see sport being used as a vehicle to combat such heinous acts. If anyone would like to chime in before I sign off for this week of the Eagle Sports Zone, the line in the studio is 083-288-401. If not, I'll see you guys again. Same time, same place, same studio on the Eagle Sports Zone. I have a very special guest lined up already for next week. I won't give it away. But stay tuned to our social media platforms to see who it is. And there also is an Eagle Sports Zone WhatsApp group for those that haven't joined. Simply go to our social media pages. The link will be there. Or you can simply just send our WhatsApp number a message saying you want to join that group. It's 081-200-4144, 081-200-4144. This has been another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. And I will leave you with the sounds. Okay, I left you with the sounds of Jimmy Cliff before. Let me leave you with the sounds of the Godfather himself. None other than Mr. Bob Marley.
With jamming, jamming, and I hope you like jamming too. And the rules ain't no vow, we can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through. 'Cause every day we pay the price, we're the living sacrifice. Jamming till the jam is through. With jamming, to think that jamming was a thing of the past. And I hope this time is gonna last. No bullet to stop us now. We need to beg, no, we won't bow. Neither can be born our soul. We all defend the right. Judge the children must unite. Who life is worth much more than gold. We're charming. Seated in Mount Zion, it rules all creation. Yeah, we're jamming. She fucked you while we're war. We're jamming. See, I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming. Jamming with you. We're jamming with you.
I hope you like a diamond too. I wanna jump it.